Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We want to read verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The writer of this psalm was David. He has the distinction in the Bible of being known as a man after God's own heart. He made some mistakes, and the Bible clearly reveals those to us. But David loved God, and God loved David. To his credit, when David made mistakes, and he made some, he corrected them and sought forgiveness from God. David wanted his life to be right with God. I believe that's apparent from this request that he made in Psalm 139. This is one of my favorite psalms. If you'll study it very carefully, you will see that David revealed just how well God knew him. And he indicated that there was no place that he could go to escape the presence of God. That being the case, he wanted his life to be right with God. Therefore, it seems that this is the philosophy that he adopted as he went through his life. Search me, O God, and know my heart. He wanted God to search him out, to put him to the test. He went on to say, try me and know my thoughts. It's interesting that the Bible teaches that God knows our very thoughts. Then he said, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now that's a request that's made by someone who wants his life to be right with God. He wants his imperfections to be revealed to him so that he can correct those imperfections. And then he said, lead me in the way everlasting. David made a request for leadership from God. In our lesson, we want to concentrate on the last part of that request in which David asked God to lead him. I hope that our study will lead us to adopt this particular approach. I hope that we will say in our hearts, let us approach God for direction and leadership. We're all concerned about things that are taking place in our world today. We're concerned about things that are taking place in our own country. We're concerned about things that are taking place in our own community. Sometimes I'm sort of interested in listening to what people have to say about solutions. I find a lot of people like to talk about problems, but there's not a whole lot said about solutions. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet, but I can't help but think that many people today in our world, even in our own country, are looking for direction. They may not know it, but they're searching for something. I believe also that many people are looking for leadership. They may not know it, and they're looking in the wrong places. Consequently, we hear about horrific things, it seems now, on a regular basis. Well, I hope that as a result of studying a number of scriptures this morning that we will develop this request. Let us approach God for direction and leadership. Because if we look for direction and leadership from other sources, we'll regret it. But if we look to God for leadership as well as direction, He'll bless us with it, with them, I should say. And we'll be much better off. Let's begin by talking about approaching God for direction. And we are assured in God's word that he will provide direction for those who follow certain instructions. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3 and read verses 5 and 6. The writer of this particular section of Proverbs was Solomon. He was the son of David, and God blessed him abundantly with wisdom. These are some very wise words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Notice that Solomon was talking about receiving direction from God. Well, in order to receive that direction from the Lord, we have to comply with these instructions that are given to us. Now, you will notice that they're both negative as well as positive. There's something that must be avoided in order to receive direction from God. And Solomon said, in order to receive God's direction, we must avoid leaning unto our own understanding. Well, that's the negative part. There's something that has to be avoided. If we want to receive direction from God, we must not lean unto our own understanding. You know, that particular principle is addressed many times in the Bible. We find that man's ways result in death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, as well as Proverbs 16 and verse 25. Now, if the Bible says something once, it's important. But Solomon, in the same book, wrote that twice. There's a way that man might think is right, but what's the end result of that? Solomon says death. I'm also reminded of what the prophet Jeremiah wrote. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. He said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see, in order to receive direction from God, we must possess humility. We have to avoid leaning unto our own understanding. Why? Because man's ways result in death. Also, man just simply doesn't have the ability to direct his own steps. Well, we don't like to admit that we can't do things, but we have to acknowledge our weaknesses before God. And since our ways that seem right to us may not comply with God's will, we just need to avoid leaning into our own understanding and then turn our attention to these positive instructions. Well, when dealing with negative and positive matters, I like to deal with the negative part first. Because if we don't, they will hinder us from obeying the positive instructions. Well, we've just looked at the negative part. In order to receive direction from God, we must avoid leaning unto our own understanding. Having taken care of that, what must we do? Solomon says we must trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, and we must acknowledge him in all of our ways. Whenever we make any plans, whenever we make any decisions, we endeavor to do anything, we must seek counsel from God. Now, what's involved in seeking counsel from God? Well, we have to search his word to learn his will. Psalm 119 and verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In order to receive the ability to see where we're going, that is, having the path lighted for us, we have to turn to God's word. You know, I never cease to be amazed at how many things can be determined by just simply searching God's word very carefully. We have many questions, and God gives us the answers in His book. We have to search diligently, and as a result of searching the Bible very carefully, we will learn the will of God. And you know, there are many subjects that come up that maybe are not specifically addressed in the Bible. But I learned a long time ago that somewhere there will be a principle revealed in the Bible that will help us determine what's right and wrong on any particular subject. And if a particular matter is not addressed, we just don't need to worry about it. The secret things belong to God. We need to be concerned about the things that are revealed to us. Well, seeking counsel from God involves searching His Word to learn His will, but it also involves talking to God through prayer and specifically asking for wisdom. Look at James chapter 1 and let's read verse 5. James 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Now in the context, James was writing about a particular kind of wisdom. Now he's dealing with Christians facing trials. And in order to face trials, we have to pray for wisdom. He also tells us in this same chapter that we develop patience as a result of having our faith put to the test. Now, once I finally got that through my mind, or in my mind, there was something I stopped doing a long time ago. I stopped praying for patience. Because the Bible says when your faith is put to the test, the end result is you develop patience. Well, if I get down on my knees and I pray fervently for God to bless me with patience, what am I doing? I'm asking God to send me some trials. And frankly, I have enough without any extra. Well, we all do. We need to study James chapter 1 very carefully because it gives us some wonderful insight as to how to face difficulties without giving up. Well, when we endeavor to seek counsel from God, and that's what we must do in order to receive His direction, we have to search His Word to learn His will, and then we need to talk to God through prayer, and we need to specifically ask for wisdom. Now, we are assured that if we follow these instructions, God will direct our paths. So, as we approach God for direction, seems that's what David was doing in Psalm 139, we just need to follow these instructions. To avoid leaning unto our own understanding, but then seek counsel from God. Let's also talk about leadership for just a little while. We need to approach God for leadership. Now, leadership from God was very important to David. Remember what he asked in Psalm 139? He asked God to lead him in the right way. Leadership from God was very important to David. I can't help but think about the 23rd Psalm. Did you notice in that beautiful Psalm that David made two requests for God's leadership? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's in verse 3, but in verse 2 he said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. Teresa included a beautiful poem in today's bulletin. It was composed by an individual that wrote several songs in our book. And you'll notice there are contrasts made between pleasant matters and unpleasant matters. What did David request in the 23rd Psalm? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, David, during his life, spent some time by the troubled waters. But he understood that God would lead him beside the still waters. Well, leadership from God was very important to David. All right, how do we receive God's leadership? Let's let the Lord tell us in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and read verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, the Lord's Sermon on the Mount is recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Jesus revealed his will on a number of very important subjects. And when he came to the conclusion, he emphasized the importance of obeying what he taught. Now, let's consider what the Lord said in these two verses, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, about leadership from God. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Well, once again, we will notice that in order to receive God's leadership, there are some things that must be avoided, and then there are some things that must be done. Well, to receive leadership from God, we must avoid the wide gate and the broad way. Why is it so important for us to avoid them? Because of where they lead. Jesus said they lead to destruction, and he was talking about eternal destruction. Now, the Lord went on to say that many people will allow themselves to be led to that end. That's sad, but remember, Jesus is the judge. I'm not. He will be the judge on that last great day. And he understood, and we need to understand it as well, that many people will not pay the price to be his followers. And the Lord said that we just simply have to avoid the wide gate and the broad way. Unfortunately, many will allow themselves to be led to destruction. Well, that's the negative part. What's the positive part? Jesus said that in order to receive leadership from God, we must enter in at the straight gate and travel the narrow way. Now, the word enter implies effort on our part. Now, concerning the wide gate and the broad way, you just go there. There's no price to pay. You can do whatever you want. But when it comes to that way that leads to life, we have to enter in at the straight gate and travel the narrow way. The word enter implies effort on our part. Let's notice what the Lord said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 24. In Luke 13 and verse 24, Jesus was responding to a question that was asked in verse 23. In verse 23, we find that someone asked Jesus, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" Now, I can't help but wonder, perhaps that individual had heard maybe what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and maybe he wanted some clarification. Maybe he had heard something from somebody that was confusing, and he came to the Lord to clear it up. "Lord, are there few that be saved?" Let's look at the Lord's answer. We won't look at all of it, but notice how he began. "Strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." Now, when the Lord said, enter into the straight gate, it's implied that we are to strive, as he taught in this particular passage. The word strive literally means to agonize, to put forth great zeal. In other words, this is the matter that's to be of great importance to us, and we're to pay the price in order to accomplish it. Jesus said, you enter in at the straight gate. Now, the straight gate is fixed. I understand this is like a little valley that's very narrow in between two sides of a gorge. There's rocks. Those sides are fixed. They're planted, and you can't change them. I can't help but think about an illustration. I think I've used this before, but maybe it will help us understand what's involved in there being a straight gate. When Teresa comes home from the store, you know, the practice today is to put groceries and various items like that in the little plastic bags that have two handles on them. Well, I learned that I'm not the only one who does this. It just seems to be something that men like to do. We like to make one trip from the car into the kitchen. So we load up all those bags and carry just as many as we possibly can. But then when I get to the door that goes from the garage, leads into the kitchen, it's fixed. And you can only carry so much through that door. Well, as I've gotten older and not quite as strong as I used to be, I'll make several trips. But I have to admit to you, it just goes against my grain. We ought to be able to do it in one trip, carry it all at one time. You get to the doorway, you can't carry a wide load through the doorway. Well, Jesus said, you enter in at the straight gate. There are restrictions and there are requirements. Let's consider some of the restrictions. Look at the same sermon we were looking at a while ago, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 and 30. Jesus was talking about getting rid of anything that would prevent us from going through the straight gate. Matthew 5, verses 29 and 30. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. I remember many, many years ago, I read an article written by a young man who tried to find some humor in those verses. The article was about the so-called humor of Christ. And frankly, I thought it was nothing short of blasphemy. But the young man tried to find some humor in what Jesus said there. He wasn't being funny. Now, was the Lord talking about literally plucking out an eye? No. What he was teaching, that was his illustration, is that if something's going to hinder you from entering the kingdom of God or entering into the straight gate, he said, get rid of it. Even if it's something that's very important to you. My right eye is very important to me. Yours is to you. We wouldn't want to lose it. It's very important to us. But the Lord said, if it's something that's very important to you that's going to hinder you from entering the kingdom, he said, get rid of it. Well, that might be involving paying a big price. But also the straight gate being fixed indicates that there are requirements. Let's look at Matthew 16 and read verse 24. Matthew 16 and verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In order to enter in at the straight gate, there are some restrictions. Anything that would hinder us, the Lord said, get rid of it. But there are also requirements. Taking up the cross and following after the Lord. So the straight gate is fixed, indicating that there are restrictions as well as requirements. But the narrow way also indicates that there are some limitations. Well, in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus identified himself as the way to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way to the Father. Now, there are not many ways. There's one way. That way is narrow. Well, we must enter the straight gate and travel the narrow way because they lead to life. Now, that's the leadership we're concerned about. We're concerned about being led to life. We want leadership from God because he's the one who gives eternal life. Well, we have to comply with these conditions that the Lord gives to us. But by approaching God for direction as well as leadership, we will be among the few. You know, that individual asked Jesus, Lord, are there few that be saved? That's an interesting question. I don't know how many a few is. I'm glad that anyone who desires can be among the few. We have to comply with the conditions that the Lord has given us in his word. Not long ago, I was reading about the great flood. How many people were living on the earth when the flood occurred? I don't know. I'm persuaded that because of the number of generations that had passed, that there were a lot of people living on earth. Now, Peter tells us that there were few who entered the ark and were saved from the flood. How many were there? Eight. There was Noah, Mrs. Noah, their sons, and their sons' wives. Now, good people, that's a few. Also, I was reading about the occasion when Moses sent the spies to check out the land of Canaan. There were 12 spies. Now, among those spies, as well as the adult Israelites over the age of 20, how many from that generation went into the promised land? Joshua and Caleb. Now, I think we can learn a lesson from Noah's family as well as Joshua and Caleb. They were all concerned about leadership and direction from God. They paid the price, and they were blessed accordingly. You know, if it hadn't been for Noah, we wouldn't be here today. I don't know if a lot of people think about that, but if it hadn't been for Noah, we wouldn't be here today. Well, we need to be grateful for these great Bible characters who illustrate what's involved in receiving leadership and direction from God. Well, it's my prayer that as a result of studying these scriptures, we will have a newborn or reborn desire to comply with the instructions that were given to us in the long ago. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Also what Jesus said in his great sermon, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." These are some very important instructions that God gave in his word a long, long time ago. If we will comply with them, he will bless us with leadership as well as direction. And you know, I believe that if we pursue leadership and direction from God, it's going to have an impact upon our lives. In turn, we're going to be able to influence others for good. Well, we need to think about that, because I believe, as I said earlier, there are a lot of people searching for direction and leadership. It's up to us to show them the right way. Now, when Jesus gave his great commission, he told his apostles to preach the gospel to every creature in Mark 16 and verse 15. Then he gave the terms of salvation. "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved." That's in verse 16. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, we'd invite you to do so as we stand and sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.